Our love is not God's love. In this teaching, Holy Spirit wants to reveal truly what is the love of God and to help believers to not misinterpret His love, to miss His love, or to deny His love. We know that Jesus spoke and told us that God is spirit. We know that in the scriptures it says God is love. And yet many believers are floundering, even after years of being His, saying things like, I don't feel the love of God. I don't know that I'm loved. The deepest reason that occurs is because they don't have a revelation, an understanding, not just in their minds, but in their hearts, of what He did on the cross for them. Because when you come to a revelation that only the Holy Spirit can give you, but we must be open to it. Because once you realize that the one whom all things were made through, Jesus Christ, the one who was with God the Father at all times, other than that one moment in time on the cross when He became sin Himself for our sakes, separated God from God, when you get that understanding, that revelation, awakening in your mind, yes, but the depth of love that was poured out in order to do that in your heart, you can never again say, I cannot feel the love of God. So many Christians, especially in certain denominations, in current Christianity, have come to a place where they expect a sensation, and that sensation is then attached to the feeling of love. He must love me. I can feel His presence. He must love me. I'm tingling. He must love me because in my body I'm having a particular reaction. That is not love. That is not love. You can have sensations from a myriad of things, from alcohol, from physical pleasure, from even a movie can give you sensations. So let's not base the love of God and our experiencing it on a sensation. Yes, we can feel the presence of God. Yes, it is glorious. Yes, He can come upon us. Yes, the Holy Spirit within us can pour out of us. Yes, yes, yes. But let us not be straitjacketed and expect a feeling in order to know that He loves us. Let us know it in our hearts, regardless of what we're going through. Otherwise, we will flounder for the rest of our lives, and we will be tossed to and fro, not just by every wind of doctrine. We'll be tossed to and fro by every flimsy feeling. And that is not why He died for us. He died for us to be united as one with Him. And let's go to John 14. Let's look at God's perception of love. And remember, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We tend to think of human love as love. And that's the gamut of love. And that's how you experience love. And that's how you give love. But this is God's love. He says in John 14:21, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then let's go to 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's God's version of love. That's agape love. That is love from the Father of lights. And He says, How are we going to feel his love? How are we going to know that his love is there? How will we be loved? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. We love him, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And we know that he loved us first, so how can we not love him? Christians are so caught up in being loved by him that they don't even know that they're meant to love him. Once you know you're loved, you don't have to keep searching for it. You just walk in it. You live in it. You express it. Our love, human love, is so variable, so conditional, often temporary, often fickle. That is not God's love. God's love was already poured out on the cross of Calvary. Blood, body, and soul. He gave everything he could for our sakes before we were ever born. So for us to think that we can't feel it, quote unquote, is to negate the fact of what he's done. If we are not feeling it, if we feel closed off, let us examine ourselves, not God. Let us look within ourselves. Are we hateful? Are we resentful? Are we unforgiving? Are we holding something against someone else? Or even ourselves? Or God? If so, you will not have that sense, that peace, that knowing of his love, because there will be a block. There will be a hindrance to it. But let us not expect that sensations or even feelings, even emotions, determine whether we are loved or not. It has already been determined forevermore that we are loved. And Jesus Christ sacrificing himself on the cross, being crucified for us, dying, becoming sin itself, and rising again is love. It is the greatest love anyone can have, that they lay down their life for another. We need, more than we need to be asking God, why can't I feel your love, or do you love me? What will truly help any believer experience love is to give that love away. Because he didn't love us so we can stay in some kind of isolated little room or home, being safe from the wretched world. He said, I'm going to pour into you. I'm going to give all I have to you. And I send you out as the Father sent me out. When you start extending yourself, giving of yourself, and it isn't yourself alone, it is yourself in unity with God himself, you will experience the love of God like you never have before when you start touching other people that are lost and lonely and hurting. And they don't have to be just a homeless person on the street. It can be your neighbor who is very middle class and looks very together. But something in their heart has been destroyed. Or perhaps they're horribly diseased. Or perhaps their husband or wife has left them. Giving the love of the Father to others, you will experience that love because you become a living epistle, not written in ink, but by the Spirit, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh that is the heart. You become love itself as you love. So let us stop thinking about us, because Christianity, again and again and again, it must be said, is not about us, it's about Christ. If it's about Christ, it's going to be about others, because he sent us out to make disciples of all nations. He sent us out to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we call ourselves believers, and all of our focus is on us, then what do we believe in? We really need to examine that. The modern Western church that is so insular, so self-seeking, constantly looking at self. What's the belief in? Self. Not him. Not his word. Not his way. Not what he's done. But self. There will be no joy if life is about you. Because you're dead. You died to sin. You died to self. And your life is now to be lived for him. If you're not living it for him, of course you're miserable. Of course you can't feel his love. How could you feel his love? It's all about you. And the most amazing thing is, the more you love him, whether it is by demonstrating it by giving to others, or whether it is worshiping him, or whether it is communing with him, speaking with the Holy Ghost, trusting him, trusting his guidance, obeying what he says, because obedience is love. The more you do that, the more you will feel loved. Because you're being with the one who is love. Of course we don't feel love. Our focus is everywhere else. Our hearts are everywhere else, distracted by self. Where's love then? If you've been a Christian for 20 years, this is just a hypothetical amount of time. It can be 5 years. It can be 60 years. And you don't know that you're loved by God, something is very wrong in your relationship. It's not meaning that you need to give up. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It means something is wrong with how you understand, see him, and something's wrong in your heart. Because you've missed what he's done. And the way to overcome that is to ask Holy Spirit, who is the indwelling God, God Almighty, in you, to reveal to you the love of God, to show you the truth about his love that was poured out. You will be so broken from any hardness. You will see the depth of love that Jesus Christ gave. And you will know the depth of love of the Father who gave his Son for us, that the questions will be over. And Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. It's not something that you're going to force yourself to get. Oh, I should know the love of God. Don't force it. Let him show you, but be willing to see it. Ask him, teach me, Holy Spirit, to know the love of God, to know I'm loved. Show me so I can be love. Because we're called to be love to this world. We're his light that casts out darkness, and we're his heart of love that casts out hate, that casts out separation. You know, I've been seeing so many people in different parts of the world, particularly of other religions, becoming aware of the goodness, grace, mercy, and love of God, and turning from their false religion and giving all of themselves to him. Because in the West, that has been the major religion, Christianity, and it's become a tradition more than it has become a living faith, and people take it for granted. But in other nations, they don't. They actually meet him. They actually experience his presence, not in because they're going to a meeting and they're all shaking and dancing for hours and hours, but because he comes to them face to face, because their hearts are sincere and they want to know him and they're crying out. And he says, if you cry out to him, he will answer you. So if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter how long you've been a believer, cry out to him and ask him, show me the love of God so I can be love. Because our lives, believers, are not about us. We've got to get over us. Just get over us. It's a dead body. Walk over it and move on. There's a whole world out there that is desperate for him and knows him not. God's love is our testimony. And he was showing me what a testimony is. I was looking it up in the Greek. It means witness, evidence, even reputation. His love is our very reputation. It's our evidence. It's our witness. And we are to be that. in the world. And this is not a condemnation. This is wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up, bride. Stop being about everyone's business but the Father's. Stop being about your own business, because the Father can take care of your business. He says that our steps are ordered by Him and He delights in our ways. I looked up what that meant, delights, again in the Greek, because it's amazing when you look up the original language. There's such richness in it. It means He desires to be involved with every step of our way. He loves being involved in our lives. We were made for Him. When we get that, we were made for Him. Was not Adam and Eve made for God? To walk in the cool of the evening and be with Him, to tend His garden, to commune with Him. It's no different today, except for Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, and now the Spirit of Him who made us lives in us. We are always with God, always, always, always. And if our focus is on God, we will be givers of life. If our focus is on us, we are prisoners of ourselves. And didn't He not come to set the captives free? So it's important as believers that we renounce self-centeredness, that we repent of it, absolutely. Give it away. No longer live in it, because self will lead to destruction. And He already gave Himself for us. We don't need to work ourselves out. Jesus Christ did that. All we need to do is to live for Him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." That's how we're meant to live, believers. For Him. Do you know when you live for Him, there is such joy? Because all the madness in the world and all the difficulties you may have and all the trials you may have, they are in a completely different perspective. In fact, they are encapsulated in Him because you live for Him and you are in Him, hidden in Christ. So your troubles, your trials, your strife, your difficulties are in Him. Did He not conquer all things? Does He not say that He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus? We are guaranteed victory if we live for Him. If we live for us, we are going to be floundering, we are going to be failing, we are going to be stumbling. And more importantly, we're going to miss not only His love for us, but miss pouring that love out to a sad and dark world. And we will not be acknowledging what He did. We will not be confessing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and He was enough for us. And now we live for Him. Let's glorify what He did through our own beings, through our own bodies, through our own choices, through our own lives. Let us be those living epistles. If every believer in the West, and every believer in the West, even ones that are considered perhaps not as affluent as others, and I know in some countries right now, even in the West, especially in America, it's very, very difficult. But if you, for 1 week, went to a third world country, you would never have the same perspective again about poor you or about your difficulties or about your troubles. And so many of those people in those third world countries are believers. They're your brethren who need help. For them, something like $20 US is enough to feed them for 2 weeks. Literally, I've been there. I've seen it. We have so little understanding of what they need and of how we can help them. Some have never had a Bible in their lives. We have 5 in our house. What about them? So to feel the love of God, be the love of God. Give to those who need. And not from that self-sacrificing, I'm going to be a good Christian. No, never. From the heart of the Father that lives in you. What did he say? He poured out his very love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have the love of God in our hearts already. But if our focus is always on us, we're going to miss it. But if our focus is on him, and we ask the Holy Spirit, by whom the love of God has been poured out into our hearts, to show us that love, surely, 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 not only will he, but we will know that love. And then we can be that love. Believers, he loved us so much that he gave what was most precious to him, Jesus Christ, his son, the one that was always with him. He gave him for us. Listen to who Jesus is. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then in John 17:5. When Jesus is praying to the Father. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. He was always with God. But when he was on that cross, becoming sin itself for us, the Father looked away, could not look on his own Son. And that is why Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken means to renounce. It means to abandon. It means to desert. He was deserted by the Father whom he was never separated from before. For us, believers, for us. There is no other purpose for it. He didn't need to do it for himself. He did it for us. That is the love of God.